Holy Scriptures we respect because they are the words given out by this Master Supreme Being. You see? For that reason. And the places, holy places of worship, you see, they are the places where men sit together and say the praises of God. And all these outer temples, mosques, and churches are made after the image of man. Dome-shaped or nose-shaped. Churches are nose-shaped, and all of the temples are dome-shaped at night. And within that, you see the light of God. See? Body is the temple of God, generally, which is given out by all saints. Guru Nanak says the same thing. That body is the true temple of God, in which you see the light of God. You see? Prophet Muhammad also says the same thing. Well, body is the true mask, in which God is eyes. Guru Nanak went to Persia and met there a Mohammedan saint called Rukundi. He asked Guru Nanak, well, what that temple is in God's eyes, can you define that temple? He said, yes. And he gave a very beautiful, glowing sound, the description of the body of the man, you see. He says that God has a dome. He says it has got, you see, 12 as an outer extension. This, you see, yeah. This one portion, this is 2 and 3. 3 and 3, 6 and 3. Each leg, 12. And it has got 52 at the corner. 32 teeth and 20 nails. He says, in fact, the house above God is eyes. He speaks from above, and we hear him not. So all that gives the description of the body of man as the true temple of God. You see, this is what also Corinthians said, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, he says, what does he say? If any man defiles the temple of God, what is the result? Him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So this is what Lord of heaven dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with man's hands. This is teaching you by man. He says the true temple is the body you are carrying, this 5-6 feet high body. In this is the temple of God in which you see the light of God. Outer temples and other places of holy pilgrimages were raised in the form of, after the image of a man. There they kept the light, candle of light, and the sound of the bell. Symbols of the light and the sound current reverberating in each heart. That was a symbol made outside to make you understand there's a light like that within you and such like sound going on within you. That the voice of God heard within each one. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell it with them. This is what the first ABC, the teaching starts from there. You see, in India, people do ask me, I just started a common ground for all. My master ordered me to have a common ground for all men, for all seekers after truth, irrespective of the fact to which particular religion they belong. If they remain in the world, there should be a common ground with no temple, with no ceremonies, no rituals, no special forms of wishing, you see. So each religion has got its own mode of wishing you, each other. Just give it. about a very classy plot. And of course a shed, big shed just to give you protection from rain and sun, and that's all. People come and all men of all will come and sit on the same platform. That's glassy ground. And you take up all scriptures of the master to give you mass. They ask me what particular temple you are raised. I tell them that the body is the two temples, the body, you see. In which you can see the light of God and hear the voice of God. When you enter in, tap inside what Emerson says, you see. And outwardly I told him will be earth below and sky overhead, the whole world is a temple of God. Which is that place where God does not reside. You see? So the teachings of the Master start from here. The very first thing. Those who have made the outer religions as a business centers, excuse me now, they simply don't. They say, what is like this? They go against such men. What did Christ do, you see? He simply went to the synagogues and said, turn ye out, go ye out, Pharisees. You have made the synagogues the centers of business, you see. These are my house, the house of my father is the only place you'll be saying, you see. Well, when there is some dross attached to the truth by the so-called priesthood, I would say, are the ignorance of the people, are for those selfish, with selfish motives, some master comes up, he just drives out the dross from the, and leaves the original thing, he lets the people take up to that original thing. So this is the first thing you teach. You say, all right, then you just learn that much from the master. Then he says, well, how can you find, you see? How can you find if he's inside, you see? Can we see him? Then yes, you can see him. When you transcend these outgoing faculties, the organs of sense, not before. Now, you see, through eyes and organs of sense, our soul is just peeping out under the control of mind. When you come above the body consciousness, the organs of sense, only then you will be able to see, not before. And further, what he says, that if he's inside, why do we not see him? He says, this ego of the body, I am the body, the separateness in which you have formed. We were the indweller of the house. This was the wonderful house in which we were living. You were living in this wonderful house, and God was also living in the wonderful house, you see. But as we just become the body itself, this egoism of the physical body, that's you must come up, know yourself, then you know God. He gives this teaching to the world as a bad problem. Now these teachings are common to all humanity, I tell you. Outward form of the religions may be different. Their modes of prayers, rituals, ceremonies may be different. But the purpose is the same, mind you. To say it in a Christian church, bareheaded is a sign of respect. But to sit in a Christian temple with covered head is a sign of respect. Outwardly these two appear to be quite diametrically opposite. But the purpose is the same. When you sit in a holy temple place, sit in a respectful mood. That's all. So there are some like that differences in non-essential too, but if you just look into the two important things, you'll find purpose is the same. He does not say simply, read only scripture and you'll be saved. Guru Nanak says you'll be reading the scripture for days and days together, for months and months together, for years and years together, for, you know, the whole of your life, you will not see God. By reading alone, you may be reading all through life. That's until you live up to what the scriptures say. They say you transcend the body. You come above the body consciousness. You must be come above the sense of organs of sense. Only then your inner eye will open and you will be able to see God. It is very clear that teachings of all masters who came to the body. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of. Enter ye the kingdom of heaven with single eye. Everybody says it. Teachings are there. Now the reason further arises, why people are, if that is so, God is leading us. It is like a look here. You have respect, we have respect for the all holy scriptures. We have respect for all holy masters who came in the past. We have respect for all holy places of worship. We have respect for all places of pilgrimages. For the reason, because they have some connection with the masters. We love scriptures because those are the utterings of the masters. Those are the words given out by the mouth of the masters. They are extremes. Therefore, we love, we respect the scriptures. We love all holy places of worship because the prayers of having God and are done there. We love the places of pilgrimages, for those are the places where some master did live. Otherwise, the land is the same, you see. There is no difference in one place than the other, except that some master lived over there. Prophet Muhammad lived in Mecca and Medina. That is the place of pilgrimage of all Mohammedan world. Christ was born in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is the place of worship of all Christian world, you see. Guru Nanak was born in a place Talwandi called Nankana Sahib. That is the place of worship for all Sikh world, you see. When one master remained at two different, or three different, or ten different places, all those places become places of pilgrimage. So, you find the difference between the two? Kabir says, well, I am in a strange position, people are going amiss. Who is the greater, the master or the place of the pilgrimage? You see? Place of pilgrimage owes its greatness only because certain masters lived over there. And certain masters have been to different places, all those places are places of pilgrimage. So that is, truly speaking, you find that masters are greater than the places of pilgrimages. Masters are greater than all the scriptures of the world. Why? These scriptures came out of the mouth of the masters. For that reason. And why we love the master? Because in the mouthpiece of God, we love God only. This is the teaching given by a true master. Now question, why have you forgotten it? He said, we are in a delusion. First of all, we have to know ourselves. We are not the bodies which we are carrying, you see. We are something which are infusing life into the body. We are the indwellers of the body. And we have to leave someday this body, that day which is called the day of death, or the day of the great final change. That death is no bugbear. I have come from India, I am alive. I am no more in India. When you transcend the body, at the time of death, or now you are in a way competent to go up with the guidance of those who do leave the body at home. Well, you simply leave the body, the transfer from the physical plane to the higher plane. That's all. We are as it were become the body itself. We are passing in a grand delusion, you see. At the time of death, we do wake up. We say, oh, we are leaving this body in all its possessions and environments. We simply shed to tears and pass away. That's all. See, the whole world is in a delusion, you see. And everybody is sleeping, not awakened. He only awakens at the time of death, you see, when the death overtakes. He opens his eyes, he leaves the body. He says, how can that be unless you come out of this delusion? You see the indweller of the house that you are carrying. That is, you know yourself by self-analysis. This delusion cannot be set aside. Then further he says, it is a very strange thing that this body which you are carrying, you reside in this house. You are the indweller of this body. Of course it is a wonderful house we live in. You see? But you have to leave this body. And all holy scriptures, all masters say that God also resides in you. Two brothers, soul and God, live in the same house, but soul does not see God. How pitiful it is. Two brothers living in the same building, you see, in the same house, but not seeing each other. Is it not pitiful? Have you ever cared? You see, we do read scriptures, and scriptures do tell us what? The God resides in every heart. Scriptures also say you also are in this body. But have we ever cared to know where is God within? We are simply seeking God in these holy scriptures by that only reading of the holy scriptures and attending the holy temples, places of holy worship, or running up to visit various places of worship. I will get it. Says, do not tell that you do not do that. That's only elementary, playing ground. But they say the true God lives within you. For that you will have to invert, transcend the body consciousness. You will have to open the inner eye with the see things for your own self. Well, you will become this. He says very strange thing. In one house, always accompanying you with you, God is, I mean, soul of your soul. See? And you do not know Him. Strange, you know? Instead of finding Him inside, we are trying to find out Him outside, you see? In books, in temples, which are made after the image of man, you see? We have respect for all those things, but just comparative. You see, by discrimination, and Master laid these things before you to wake you up. What we are doing and what we should do, these are all the means to the end, you see. Make the best use of them. But if at all you have to see the light of God, then for that purpose you will have to transcend the body consciousness, inward, tap inside. He says, there's very valuable thing, you see, most precious thing is within you all, and that is the divine link, you see, which is called by the word in Christianity, in the beginning was the word. Word was with God, and word was God, you see. This is what the Holy Scripture says. And the same was in the beginning with God, you see. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was in the world. This is what Guru Nanak another says. When the whole world was made by Nam, you see. In the hell, they say, all heavens were made by the word, you see. forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. There comes forth from heaven, see. So all creation is being upholded, upholding all things by the word of his power. I'm just giving these references only to show that power, that divine thing which sustains, maintains, supports all creation, that valuable thing is lying within you, each one of you. That is an everlasting thing, the gross withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. This was further. You find the Hebrew, you see. So my point is, you see, that until there is a divine link in each man, Guru Arjuna says, until you come in contact with that, these five passions are attacking you, robbing you of all the nobleness of your soul. You want to just be saved by their attacks, what you should do? Come in contact with that divine link. When can you contact that divine link? Only when you come above the organs of sense. That divine link has light, gives forth light when you come in contact with it. That divine link gives you the voice of God, the sound principle reverberating in all creation, which is called the music of the spheres by Plato. That is it. Thy word is lamp unto my feet. It's got light. This is something, you see the light like a candle, you see it burning in the room. This is something like that given the Bible as well, you see. So, if you come in contact with that thing, only then you will be saved by the attacks of the five passions. As you do not come in contact with that, these, we are under the control of the five passions. These five passions attack us from where? Lust attacks it to the eyes. Anger is just flared up through the ears. As you are angry, somebody tells you that anger is further flared up, you see, by hearing the words. Similar, there are avenues through which these passions attack you. When you transcend about these things, you are saved from the attacks of these passions. This wonderful house, you are being robbed away by five passions. If you want to save yourself, the only thing is that you come in contact with the divine link within. There is that divine link life. It is lies above the body consciousness when you have come above the organs of sense. Now, how to enter this kingdom of God with less pride? All these things lies in you, that divine lies within you. Seek you first the kingdom of God, you see. So how to do that? Guru Arjuna further says, well, look here, it is just like a house which is locked up from outside, and you want to enter inside, what will you do then? The key of that house has been just is under the custody of somebody. If you want to enter the house, you must unlock the door first and then you can enter the house. Until you go to somebody, to the person who has got the key of that house, and he gives you that, he opens the door for you, you can enter the body, house only then. Similarly, he says, this body is the house of God. You live in it, but it is locked up from within. you cannot transcend into the beyond, you see. You are just like in locked a room, in a house. You want to enter into the kingdom of God. God has locked it up and given the key to your master. You see? Now if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you must go to the person who has got key of that. He will open that for you. How? He will give you a sitting. He will give you a personal experience how to come about the body consciousness. He will open the door first in time. You will see the guidance. That's the only way out. It is a practical subject which you have to learn at the feet of some competent practical master. Why am I adding again two words, competent and practical, you see? Because the world is full of masters. There are so many masters in the world that people have become fed up with the name of the master. The true master is legitimate. It is not simply giving us some words for incantation, for repetition, or it's giving some lecture. No. True greatness of a master lies in the fact that he can give you some personal experience of transcending the body consciousness, opening of the inner eye, seeing the light of God within with your own inner eyes, and hear the voice of God with the ignorance. Who can do that? He is the master. So this body is a locked up house from within. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God until you go to somebody who can open that for you. And who is that? Who is competent to open that? He is called the master. Just for entering one house, you have to run up to the man who got the key of the house. He'll open it for you. Similarly, you want to enter into the kingdom of God that is locked up from within, you see. You have to rise up into that. You have to be born anew. Except until you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to just transcend, be born in the new world, you see. That door is locked up. That is it. You see what Christ says, you see? Many there are who will be seeking and find it not, that door within, you see, it is locked up. Until somebody who is coming, makes it, and you have that personal experience and go on day to day. This is what Guru Arjuna says, you see. You may be doing hundreds of other matters until you go to the man who has got the key. Really, you see, you cannot enter the kingdom. That is why Christ said, and others whom the Son of Man reveals, I just quoted you before. What he says further, he says, whosoever God wishes to liberate from the wheel of deaths and births, to rise above the body conscious and meet God, such a person is brought in contact with the true master. And it is from above. How a blind man can catch some man who is with the eyes, you see? If an eyed man has got eyes on his face, he takes pity on the blind man, he just gives his hand into his head, look here, I've come. Only then the blind man can catch the man who's got eyes. What does it mean? Within his eyes not open, you see. How can you find out a master? The such and such is the master. What is the criterion with which we can just see that such and such can only be master? By outer form, by outer propaganda, you will find many things are going on. Everywhere there is propaganda, you see. But how many there are of really who can give you such an experience?
and welcome to the satsang from Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was the last half of Master's farewell talk, which was given in Beaumont, California on August 1st, 1955. Our reader this evening is Sheila Gilmore. Hello, Sheila.
Hello, everyone. Good evening. I'm reading still in The Night is a Jungle. I'm in the chapter called Protector and Protection, and I left off on page 328, which is where I'll start. The world has always insulted the masters. For their own gain, self-centered people will say many things against them, but there's not one who can harm a single hair of a master's head if he does not wish it himself, for God's protection is impenetrable. Is it not natural that the Lord will protect him who belongs to him? A good wife gives herself up completely to her husband, who takes care of her needs and protects her. But worldly examples are poor caricatures compared to the master's protection. Even the mother who has deep love for her child has a selfish thought that when he grows up, he will look after her, etc. A true guru wants nothing from his children. He only feels grateful that another soul has become free and is returning to its own home. He has true love for the soul. Brother, do not think that all is in your hands. Everything is already ordained. Never think for a moment that man has anything in his control. The controlling power is doing everything. Fear, death, heat, cold, etc. would never come near him but for the reaction of karmas, and it is not in man's control, for they come without him being able to stop them. A person may suddenly be bitten by a snake and die from it. Another will die after reaching old age. These things occur in life according to man's past karmas. When God's pen runs according to one's past karmas, man has nothing to say in it. Such name of God should be daily repeated within, O Nanak. That would free one from all bondage. Be tied to life's precious thing, which will be with you here and in the beyond. Who can connect you with the Nam? In the Guru, he himself manifests and distributes the Shabad. St. John tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. True masters have always exhorted all mankind, Oh man, you have got this physical form, so connect yourself with the Nam, or with the manifestation of it in the human pole, which will protect you now and after death. Whosoever claims knowledge in this world is praised by the people who strive with all their might to believe in him, while the masters are proclaiming the very truth itself. Guru and God are both before me. At whose feet shall I fall? I am full of gratitude to my Guru, through whom I discovered who the Satguru is. God himself is working in the Guru, and these words are expressing the gratitude that one should have towards one's master. We cannot truly know and praise God, and neither can we know or praise the Guru. He's in the world for the sole purpose of joining the souls back to God, and it is a great privilege to meet such a personality. When you meet him, obey his commands, make your life as he wants it to be, and then this will be your own triumph. He says, do your bhajan and make your life chaste and pure. His protection will always be over your head. Keep your attention constantly on him, and you will become a true disciple of the Master. That's the end of chapter 13, and I'm starting chapter 14, The Night is a Jungle. What is the difference between God and man? man has mind, without which he would be the same as God. Kabir tells us that all this creation is a part of God. The soul is the same essence as that of God. It is a drop of the ocean of all consciousness. However, through being joined to the mind, it became jiva. But as it is of the same essence of God, when the mind is removed, only God is left. So God plus mind is man, and man minus mind is God. Gold is made into jewelry and other attractive articles, but that which comes direct from the mind is called ore, although the gold is there. When the mud and other minerals are filtered from it, the pure gold is left. And so, when final analysis is made and the mind and senses are removed, man is then God. One can conceive the great possibilities of which to avail oneself, having received the blessing of a human birth, to separate the consciousness from matter and realize who one truly is. When the soul became jiva, by association with the body and the world, it adopted the same identity. For wherever the attention is directed, one becomes as that. So now, lost in creation, it cannot find itself and return to its true home or origin until it is free and pure again. He who has found his own self, has realized himself, has become one with God, he is man and God, or God and man. The same light which has become effulgent in him is sustaining the whole creation. What is God? In truth, he is not light, he is not sound. But when he expressed himself, these two principles emanated from him and came into being. Our soul being a drop of the wave of that God into expression power, a direct connection with it will take us back to the source from which it emanated, which is Anami, or Absolute God. This is the message extended by all true masters who have come, in different mode or language according to the time. Everything has a natural inclination to return to its original state and source. If you turn a lighted candle upside down, yet its flame will go up, for its source is the sun. If you throw a ball of clay in the air as hard as you like, it will but return to earth again from whence it came. If the soul gets freed from mind and senses, it will automatically be drawn toward God. The first thing we must do is still the mind. The very foundation of yoga is controlling the intelligence. The word yoga is described from yuj, which means to rejoin. And to rejoin the Lord is the ultimate task ahead of man, a task which can be achieved only in human form. Other forms are only for various enjoyments. Some human beings, because of their past karma, also live to enjoy, whereas others are not so heavily burdened, and therefore the truth is more apparent to them. They have better powers of differentiation. The latter type of human being can realize himself and realize God. Today is the festival of Baisakhi, which the note says is the first day of the Indian month of Baisakh, corresponding approximately to April 15th. Today is the festival of Baisakhi, which is celebrated in different ways according to the various religious customs. Nature itself celebrates by sprouting of new buds and leaves, and the new life begins from this season. We should take a lesson from nature and sprout forth with a new life. In the Hindu religion, there are 10 avatars, and certain Hindus celebrate this day as a double event, the birth of Parshuram and the overcoming of evil by Narsingh Avatar. Parshuram was a great yogi. Narsingh was the avatar who saved Prince Prahlad and killed the prince's father, the tyrant king Hiranyakashipu, who, while ruling the people with a rod of iron, had declared himself God and had made them worship him. By performing severe austerities, he had obtained a great boon from the gods, that he would never die by any hand born out of life, nor during the day or night, nor within or without any building, not on earth, nor in the sky, etc. His son, Prahlad, became a true devotee of the Lord and solemnly declared that God was God and not his father. The king tried to kill the prince by various methods or torture, but the pure devotion of the child repeatedly drew on the grace of God for salvation until finally his father ordered that Prahlad should embrace a red-hot iron column. Confronted with such a formidable test, the child at first hesitated, but on seeing an ant crawling up the column, he stepped forward with joy and placed his arms around the column. At once, the column split asunder and out stepped Narsingh Avatar in a form born out of the fiery structure, terrifying to gaze upon. He took the king in his powerful hands, and as the sun went down, he stepped into a doorway, neither inside nor outside, and tore the king apart. I congratulate the Buddhists on this day, for the Lord Buddha was born on Vaisakhi. On Vaisakhi, he received enlightenment, and on Vaisakhi, he left his body finally, nirvana. So both religions have good reason for celebration. For us also, it can be a great day, for we are constantly lamenting that we should start life anew. So we should start this new day as the beginning of a new life in which the flowers should blossom and the fruit should come forth. There should be so much fruit on each branch that the weight may bow the fruit to the earth. This is a great day for Sikhs also. In truth, Sikhism is not a cult. This is what I feel. One poet says that the world changes, and a true man is he who changes the world. On this day, some 3 centuries ago, Guru Gobind Singh, the 10th Sikh guru, started the Khalsa. In those days, the people were killing each other in the name of religion, and he started to erase the controversy by forming the Khalsa. A Khalsa is a true disciple, and on this day, the guru found 5 true disciples among his followers and made them leaders of the people. There was religious enmity during the life of Guru Nanak, who was once asked who he was and replied, "I am not Hindu, neither Muslim. The breath of this body is Allah and Ram." He meant that Allah and Ram are one, but they still insisted on further explanation. So he said, "If I say I am Hindu, you will kill me. Muslim, I am not. Nanak is that invisible power playing in this puppet of 5 elements. They were concerned only with outer labels, and he had no desire to claim the outer form which signifies a Hindu or Muslim. His answer served to show them that man is greater than his outer appearance, for he is truly the power which resides in the physical form. We all stick on labels sooner or later, entangling ourselves in conformity. But in truth, we are just men, just human beings." On this subject, Guru Gobind Singh Ji says, "The caste of all humanity is one. We are all born the same way and have been given the same faculties. During the life of Kabir, as an open challenge, the Brahmins declared that they had come to the world by direct orders from the mouth of Brahma. But Kabir replied, "O Brahmin, if you came direct from God, why were you not born differently than other men? Even the outer and inner physical structure of all men is the same. No one has four arms, etc. All have the same privileges, whether born high or low, according to their karma. As for these karmas of the past, Tulsi Sahib says, the great law of karma has created the world's conditions. Each will take the fruit of his actions. Valmiki was a low caste untouchable who became Maharishi Valmiki. Because according to karma from his past, the change was bound to take place. But these days, the children of Brahmins are called Brahmins indiscriminately, and so on in all the other castes. For as time passes, chains upon chains are added in the name of religion, and the basic oneness of all men is forgotten. So on this day, five specially selected disciples were chosen, and they were called Panch Pyara, or the Beloved Five. The prevailing conditions of India at that time called for such action, but that is past and is not our concern. In those days, whether friends or enemies, men had no respect for each other, and the guru sought to awaken the life and meaning of true teaching. He made a public announcement and asked, "Who will offer his head for sacrifice?" Now, it is a simple matter to find hundreds of people who will agree with everything you say, and still more who will willingly bow down in obeisance. There are many also who will give their wealth for a cause. But how many can you find who will give up their lives? After a moment's pause, one man arose and came forward to the guru, and then four others, one by one. He did not kill them, but made them his beloved disciples, above all religion, true human beings with the fact accepted. Then he gave them his light, for from one light others are kindled. He made the Khalsas. And what is said of the Khalsa? The Khalsa is my true form. The Khalsa is my abode. The Khalsa is my full intoxication. The Khalsa is my complete Satguru. He is one who will never leave me. He takes responsibility for the soul until the end. In that, Lord, does my mind rejoice. And as further indication, think of him as the pure one in whom the effulgent light is glowing. He infused them with the water of life. Religion is no consideration. He who takes God's name becomes his own. Masters never make people prisoners of religion. Religions are our schools of thought, of which we have to make the best use. I am thine, O Lord. May thy victory be everywhere. The Khalsa has been described as a living light. Guru Gobind Singh gave them the inner light and even outwardly bound them unto himself by vows with charged sweetened water given by his own hands. And then he made them offer the same water to himself, showing that the guru is the disciple and the true disciple is the guru, which is an outer pointer to his greatness. All masters made disciples, of course, including Lord Buddha, Hazrat Muhammad Sahib, Jesus Christ, and others. They made disciples that they should become Buddhas and Christs. They regularly took food with their disciples, although the disciples never actually realized them to be as great as they were. I'm speaking very frankly. The 10th Guru Sahib said, "I am a Khalsa. And saying this, he took the amrit from their hands, and to combat the conditions of the time, he formed a volunteer corps. He changed nothing in their religion. They remained Hindus, but willingly sacrificed their lives for the cause of truth and honor. One is reminded of Vali Khan and Nabi Khan Ali Khan, who were Muslims and who also sacrificed their lives for Guru Gobind Singh's cause. When Nabi Khan Ali Khan was killed, a man went to inform his wife. Her first words were not concerning the death of her husband, but, "Is my guru all right?" What a sacrifice that was. When Bhai Nand Lal Ji wrote a book of prayer called Bandgi Nama, Guru Gobind Singh gave the book the title of Zindagi Nama, meaning the giver of life. If you have the opportunity to read it, you will become thoroughly awakened to the true teachings. The 10th Guru said, "We are the worshippers of the same living light." All masters pointed out that outer practices are of our own making, meant for preparation of the ground. Maulana Rumi also said that theists and atheists have the same right to realize the truth, for the soul is the same in both. All rituals are the results of superstition. First, the unity of consciousness in creation was set. There is only one Brahm, there is nothing else, which was later qualified by others according to their own approach. Through God's light were all his children created into his play. With the same light was the whole world created. Who is good and who is bad? It is a subject for deep thought. How can you make a khalsa by merely sticking a label on someone? The greatness of the 10th Guru lies in this, that he himself infused the light and then made them as great as himself. Wherever these five beloveds will be, there will I be also. If you sit near an awakened soul, you also will awaken. The system was excellent, but it was difficult to get constituents. He made one guru home in which all were equal. No one need worry what he was going to eat, where his clothing was coming from, how his children were going to be fed. He told everyone to do nishkam seva, selfless service, and to keep the living light within alive always. He gave an example. Like sparks jumping from a fire, they fall back to become part of it again. We are the sparks of that living light. The soul has an innate desire to return to its own home, but estranged in this foreign land, it has become entangled with the mind and senses and is superficially reluctant to leave. Guru Gobind Singh Ji broke down the religious narrow-mindedness. It was a great work. It is not an easy task to break old rituals, even though the basic teachings are the same given by Guru Nanak, Kabir, and other masters. Ravidas Ji says, "He cannot be bought, but is attained through true devotion." It is also said, "Count the executioner as the purest if God resides in his mind." Anyone in whom God is manifested is the purest of all. If the system that Guru Gobind Ji Maharaj introduced could be implemented today, all life's uncertainties would be removed. From the very beginning, I have thought that there should be a common kitchen and everyone should eat there. Everyone is subject to the attitude, "This is mine, this is mine," but it is an obstacle. All are not at the same stage of development, but there is great hope for those who are sincere and willing. So, today we celebrate Baisakhi because the Khalsa Panth was started on that date. Many people have the wrong understanding of the word Khalsa. He is the one in whom the light is manifested. It has even been said that the Khalsa will reign over all. All those who will sit at his feet will be saved. You will note that those who come to his feet will be saved, not the rest. The Khalsa is not formed from outer appearances, and in the end, only the spiritual man will rule. The spiritual person in whom God has manifested himself is the Khalsa, and those who come to his feet will be saved. Others will have to remain in their humiliation. That which man accepts as law through generations of customary habit is viewed by the masters from a detached and therefore more accurate angle of vision. They see no value in religious highs and lows. They light the light within all and reveal that all are one and the same. The so-called gurus remain as gurus and their disciples remain disciples. But the true masters say, no, we are one and the same. Our Huzur used to say, no emperor wants his son to remain an official. A true saint desires that his followers also become saints. All men from both human and spiritual levels are one and the same. He who is the controlling power is the giver and the doer. Even the meaning behind the puja or namaz, these are Hindu and Muslim devotional practices, is the same. With puja, a lamp is lit and then the puja performed, while the Muslims place their hands on their ears and utter the sound called ba'ang. On the path of the masters, the initiate is taught how to place the hands on the ears and hear the inner sound. One should listen to this inner ba'ang, music of the spheres, which is spiritually efficacious. Guru Nanak once went to Shiraz in Persia, and there he met a Muslim priest named Ruknuddin, who asked the guru, "Have you ever seen the house of the Lord?" Guru Nanak replied, "Yes," and proceeded to describe the physical form. It has 12 minarets, 6 at each extremity. These are joints of the arms and legs. 52 spires, which is 32 teeth and 20 nails, and 2 windows or eyes. It is also said, in a lofty special palace, Kuda, which is God, is giving the ba'ang. So one should be able to understand clearly that the true mosque, church, or temple is the human form. Mosques are forehead-shaped, church steeples are nose-shaped, temples and gurdwaras are dome or head-shaped, all model imitations of the true temple of God. This body is the temple of God in which the true light is seen. Maulana Rumi tells us that for those whose eyes are not open, mosques are made with clay and water. For the awakened people, the complete masters, the mosque is this true heart at the seat of the soul. During my Western tour, I told the people many times that God does not reside in temples made with stone, but he himself made the house in which he resides. But we have forgotten the true temple and respect the man-made outer images of the true house. What tragedy that we go to the imitation temple, leaving the natural mosque to bear the labor. Okay, I will stop there. I was reading from The Night is a Jungle, starting on the last part of chapter 13. Protector and Protection, and moving on to the talk called The Night is a Jungle. Thank you, Master, for loving us and for showing us the way home.
And thank you, Sheila, for reading for us. There were 59 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providding this for us.
So, all Master tells us like that. They say you and that God power is both within this man body. And where are you? You are just identified with your world outside. Why don't you withdraw your attention from outside? He is waiting for you within you.